Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
You're listening to SBS News.
While WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange walks free after a decade-long legal saga, the threats to press freedom that his case represented live on. We're speaking with Dr. Emma Shortus, a senior researcher in international and security affairs for the Australia Institute. So, first of all, how unique is the US prosecution of Julian Assange here?
This was really unprecedented, I think, which is part of the reason that it got so much attention. The United States certainly has a history of going after whistleblowers, but the way that the Espionage Act, the 1917 Espionage Act was used in this case was unprecedented, and the fact that it was being used to pursue a non-US citizen, I think, was particularly important because what that meant was that the United States was arguing that a non-US citizen was subject to the Espionage Act, so was subject to US domestic law, as American citizens would be, but wouldn't be able to rely on the protections of American law as American citizens can. So particularly the argument was being made that Julian Assange might not be allowed to rely on the constitutional right to free speech through the First Amendment. So all of that combined means that this was an unprecedented, really, attack on press freedom globally.
And where does that Espionage Act come from? And how do you feel like it's being used now in comparison to maybe as it was conceptualised?
Sure. So this is a very old act. It's a 1917 act. So it was written in the context of the First World War and was designed really to go after, you know, what the state saw as traitors, you know, to protect secrets. And there was real consternation even at the time about what this act would mean, that it was draconian and that it would be used to go after people who were saying things that made the government uncomfortable or that, you know, members of the government disagreed with. So it's always been controversial. But, you know, if we fast forward to today, it had never been used in this way, particularly to pursue a non-citizen. And that's why Julian Assange in court just the other day made the comment that the Espionage Act and the Constitution and particularly the First Amendment are in conflict with each other. This has been a problem that's plagued the United States and American democracy for a long time. And I think the Assange case has really highlighted that. It's always been the concern, you know, since this indictment was unsealed in 2019, that this would set a precedent allowing the United States government to use the Espionage Act to go after journalists, not just in the United States, but internationally for publishing the truth, because fundamentally that's what Assange was being pursued for publishing the truth. And so that's why there was such concern about the threat that such a precedent would set to press freedom, because it potentially would criminalise the relationship between journalists and their sources and criminalise regular journalistic activity. So the Obama administration, for example, they acknowledged this and called this the New York Times problem, you know, acknowledging that if they went after Julian Assange for his journalistic activities, they'd then have to go after the New York Times for doing the same thing. So there is that clear threat to press freedom, and the fact that Assange has been really cornered into pleading guilty to one count under the Espionage Act, I think has kept those concerns alive in the potential for this to set a precedent and to create a real chilling effect on press freedom is really significant.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, Australia's advocacy, especially that of Anthony Albanese, for instance, has been credited as one of the reasons for this plea deal and the change in fates for Julian here. I was wondering how we kind of square that. And obviously, Julian is a publisher, not necessarily a whistleblower. But obviously, in Australia, in a domestic sense, there hasn't been quite so fond of an attitude towards whistleblowers and even journalists who would publish military secrets in the same way that Julian Assange did. Do you feel like it's difficult to square this free Julian attitude versus our own attitude towards people that might do the same in Australia?
I think it's really difficult to square those two things, you know, to advocate for Julian Assange's freedom, you know, to argue that this case had gone on for too long and should never have been brought, you know, is really irreconcilable with some of the Australian government's or Australian positions on whistleblowers and press freedom, exactly as you say. And I think it's really important to highlight that connection, because there's this sense, you know, or I guess this argument coming out of the Australian government and Australian intelligence agencies, which has existed for a long time, that national security requires secrecy. And that's just not accurate. You know, secrecy does not mean security. And I think particularly in a democracy, there's an imperative to ensure transparency and accountability and press freedom. And part of the reason Assange's case makes so many people in those communities and in the national security state in the United States so uncomfortable is because he and WikiLeaks really highlighted how much of that secrecy is designed not to protect citizens, but to keep them in the dark about the activities of their government.
And do you feel like there is any room for nuance in criticism of Assange's, journalistic ethics, for instance? Like, obviously, there's a lot of truth in some of these leaks that came out about the US conduct in Afghanistan, Iraq, but I have seen criticism as well of potentially not doing his due diligence to protect potential personnel that might be revealed and have their safety compromised. And I understand that's not necessarily the thing that was being debated in the legal case, but is there any sort of room for nuance here, how we're evaluating Assange as a figure?
Look, I think there's always room for nuance, but I think, you know, the evidence is really clear that Julian Assange himself and WikiLeaks went to great lengths to protect people mentioned in those documents. They spent a lot of time redacting information, and it's very clear, you know, even the US government has admitted that there's no evidence of harm coming to anybody because of the revelations of these documents. But framing it in that way, you know, making that argument that this put people at risk is self-serving, because what it does is obscure the fact that what the documents revealed was genuine and real harm, right? The Afghanistan war logs, the Iraq war logs revealed extraordinary wrongdoing by the United States, wrongdoing that harmed so many people. And so I think that criticism is really self-serving, and serves to obscure particularly American and American allies' wrongdoing during the war on terror. As I said, self-serving in the sense that it, you know, puts the focus on Assange and not on the people who, you know, allegedly committed these crimes. And I think in Australia in particular, that's a really important context to remember, where, you know, the only people who have so far been punished for war crimes or for wrongdoing are whistleblowers. And in a democracy, that's not where the balance should fall.
I also just wanted to quickly touch on our attitude to countries like China versus the US in regards to the treatment of Australian citizens, especially journalists.
They are quite clearly double standards, aren't they? I think, you know, part of the reason that this case became so prominent was because of that clear hypocrisy, you know, where you have the United States pursuing a journalist for publishing the truth while simultaneously condemning authoritarian states for doing the same thing. You know, the same thing is happening in Russia with a journalist from the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, that argument was becoming increasingly untenable. And I think, you know, Australia's relationship with the United States has reinforced that, where there's this belief that, you know, Australia needs the United States for its security and so has to, I suppose, be reconciled to that hypocrisy and even support it and uphold it. And I think Assange's case has really highlighted that in a quite a unique way, in a way that hasn't happened for a long time. And so, you know, when you see descriptions of the Assange case as an irritant in the alliance, I think we should be skeptical of that and acknowledge that it was actually becoming hugely problematic for the alliance because of its clear contradiction of the, you know, what's often described as the shared democratic values of the alliance. And, you know, to have President Biden in particular talk about a world, you know, of autocracies lined up against democracy, and then to be pursuing a journalist was again irreconcilable. So it's certainly my hope that, you know, this will kind of increase the focus on, you know, what we mean when we talk about shared values with the United States, and hopefully begin to tip the balance, I suppose, of that relationship away from that, you know, highly secretive defence military relationship into one that is based on genuine democratic exchange, you know, the kind of genuine democratic exchange that has resulted in Julian Assange finally being able to come home.
Sam Dover, SBS News.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.